Monday evening across Milton Keynes Delight, so we're joined by Peter Marland this evening. You're first in on our Crime Week this week. Hello, Peter.
Hi, how are you?
All good, thank you. So you're ready then to see King Charles on Thursday?
Yeah, I've got my protocol session, which will apparently teach me how to bow,
right,
and curtsy, and do all the things that you have to do around our head of state.
Well, at least you're getting a better brief than what we believed Meghan got at the time, just before meeting the Queen.
Oh, well.
Don't we? At least you got time to practice.
I mean, the great thing is he's visited it, and with the King, it might be a once in a rain opportunity. Last time the Queen came, we're at Milton Keynes Stadium now. Last time the Queen came, 2007. The council apparently had 6 months to plan. We've had 3 weeks to plan for this, but it's a big one. It's the formal marking of the dedication of the city, and I think that's a brilliant thing.
Yeah, excellent. So you're here to talk about crime then in Milton Keynes. Obviously, as a radio station and news outlet, we've decided that we will revisit this quite regularly. I think things were quite a different story the first time we ran Crime Week, and from certainly where we sit here at MCAFM, there does seem to be some improvement over the last few months.
I think it's mixed. So I think if we look at the main issue that was on everybody's thoughts last year, which was knife crime, I think there have been improvements there. Luckily, the number of offending has gone down, and I think that is a lot to do with the work that we've done jointly with the Police and Crime Commissioner around prevention. We've had the Knife Angel. As a council, we've put a lot more money into preventative schemes in schools and Hazard Alley, and we're going to do a bit more next year around work with young offenders, making sure that they're not carrying knives. I think that's absolutely right. We've still got concerns about police numbers, particularly community policing. I think only a couple of weeks ago, we actually had an anonymous police officer come forward to say that one of their shifts was dangerously understaffed. That was the same case as it was last year. And I think those reductions and that transfer of what is was a quite big body of community policing into those police numbers. So whilst the headline number of police officers is going up, a lot of that is being taken from community policing or PCSOs, and we're not seeing the same investment in PCSOs. And that's where I think people are now starting to see worrying signs that there isn't enough reaction to low-level incidents that are clearly linked to high-level incidents. So the example I can give you is around the crime and antisocial behaviour outside the Central Milton Keynes train station. Most people will see that, I think, as begging. It's aggressive begging. It's not right. But also linked to a lot of that is drugs. Those pitches are basically sold by organised crime. And I think the more we raise that sort of thing, the more that the police need to take action. But they don't have the resources to deal with what they see as low-level crime. But actually, when you dig into it, it is linked to things like drug dealing and county lines. And on the flip side, we've got other things like car meets and speeding on the roads, which are causing a hell of a nuisance to local residents in Central Milton Keynes. And the police haven't really got back to pre-pandemic levels of control that we had over those events. So overall, I would say it was mixed. But our focus as a council now is definitely moving more towards prevention and looking at those low-level community crimes. That people aren't silly. People know that those level community crimes, be it burglary, be it violence, but particularly drug dealing, they might individually be small crimes, but we know that they are linked to bigger, nastier things further up the chains. And in my view, it's the community policing, it's the intelligence that really tackles those crimes and hits the real drug lords in where it hurts them, and that's in the pocket.
So just rolling back a little bit then, you still don't believe that the police numbers in Milton Keynes have increased?
I think the number... It's a difficult one. Do I think overall there's been a headcount increase in the number of police in Milton Keynes? since 2019? Yes. Does that take us over and above the levels of policing that we had in 2010? No. Where are those extra numbers coming from? And I think that is a matter of debate. I think a lot of those new officers across Thames Valley, and we tend to only see Thames Valley numbers, we don't really see the numbers breaking down to Milton Keynes, and this is where we had the discussion with last year with Matt, the Police and Crime Commissioner, around some of the numbers that are allocated to Milton Keynes, like mounted police or rapid response or armed response, who are technically based in Milton Keynes. They are allocated to Milton Keynes as extra police, but obviously they're not going out when someone's been burgled. They're not going out when someone's had their catalytic converter. They're not going out to deal with somebody who's shouting sexual obscenities at every woman that's going in and out of Milton Keynes train station. So overall numbers have gone up. On the numbers of police officers who are dealing with things in Milton Keynes, particularly beat officers and community police, going up, I think that's probably a no, and we've seen that in some of the reports going forward from serving police officers.
Well, we've got Matthew Barber in tomorrow, so we can certainly ask him regarding police numbers here in Milton Keynes. We had Chief Inspector Ewan Livingston in a couple of weeks ago now. It's when the Knife Angel was being removed from Stane MK, and he said between July and I think the beginning of this year, 150 people had gone to court for carrying knives.
Mm. Yeah, like I say, the work that we've put in with Thames Valley Police has been immense. That's great. I go back to what we were saying 3 years ago, up to 18 months ago, about knife crime being a problem. I don't think it should have got to the levels that it got to last year before the police, and particularly the Police and Crime Commissioner, took it seriously in Milton Keynes. We kept being fobbed off with, it hasn't gone up, it's not a problem, there isn't that much of an issue. Obviously, when we made it a political issue, we were told that, I think, literally on this programme, I was told that we were only talking about it for political ends. We weren't. It was coming up on the doorstep time and time again. And now, rightly, the police are saying that the actions that we've taken jointly have borne fruit. But it's a long way from where we were a few years ago, which was we were told there wasn't a problem. That's a good turnaround in my book. But ultimately, a number of people, a number of incidents have taken place that I don't think ever should have taken place if we would have been taken seriously in the first place.
And I just want to go back to you about what you're saying about the train station, because certainly when I've been to the train station, the begging and the homeless situation seems to be a lot different to how it was a few years ago. You're saying that there's a new problem there now?
Yeah, so we talk a lot about preventative services, and the problems outside of the train station and outside of other places, the shopping centre in central Milton Keynes, the Undercroft car park in Sainsbury's in central Milton Keynes, or the other places across the borough, it isn't about homelessness. We've got a good offer, we've got a good preventative offer, and if you stand outside of Milton Keynes train station and look towards the city, you can literally see where people can take up that offer. We've got wraparound care, we've got social workers, we've got mental health specialists, we offer permanent residences, we offer short-term residences, there's charities that do that, but actually when it comes down to it, a number of those issues that are out taking place outside the train station are linked to things that are bigger. So it's not right that every woman walking in and out of the train station at certain times of the day and night are shouted at by a couple of men who scream quite bad sexual obscenities. Now, we are living in a world where a lot of nasty things have happened over the past year, and the police need to take that seriously. It's if you're a young woman and you're going into the train station at 10:30 at night to get on a train when all the barriers are open, it can't be right that those issues aren't being tackled. So it's all very well for the Police and Crime Commissioner, and Thames Valley Police, to say they support the White Ribbon campaign, say they take hate crime seriously. Policing is in the pudding, isn't it? Policing, they need to do something about it. So have you raised this yourself? On many occasions, yeah. Partly because it's wrong, partly because those activities not just antisocial, but actually they are linked to crime, they are linked to drug dealing, they are linked to all sorts of victimization. And a lot of those people have homes. They pack up their stuff at the end of the day and they go back to where they are living. They are not homeless. The money that they collect is funding a habit or funding organized crime. Full stop. That's evidentially based. We are working with the police to try and make sure that we have the proper injunctions or antisocial behaviour orders or PSPOs in place to tackle those people. But ultimately, it's the police with those powers, and they need to take action. And it isn't about homelessness. It absolutely isn't about homelessness. It's about crime and antisocial behaviour. I think they do. I think it would be absolutely pointless to bring it to Milton Keynes if it didn't work. And although it would be nice, it wouldn't do anything. I think engaging with young people around the dangers of carrying knives is important. And I think we had this conversation not too long ago. It's not just engaging with the young people, it's engaging with the parents or carers if they're worried about the children or the young people carrying knives, they can report them too. And that's the work that the Police and Crime Control Minister has done around the criminal justice system, around if you admit carrying a knife, if you go on those prevention programs, if you sign up to not carrying a knife again, etc., the criminal justice system will treat you fairly and will help you if you continue to carry a knife, or you are violent, or you're aggressive, or you don't want to go on those programs, then the full weight of the law will come down right on you. And I think that's only right. And again, we are trying to split out those young people, those children that are carrying knives or doing not sensible things, because they are scared, because it's a culture thing, because they think it's cool, and those that are carrying knives and involved in serious organised crime. And they're two very different categories. Do I think that bringing the knife angel is going to stop someone carrying a knife because they've got an electric scooter and they drive around at 1 o'clock in the morning delivering little packets to people from WhatsApp messages? No, I'm not stupid. Is it going to spread a wider message about the reduction in knife crime? Yeah, and I think those isolated incidents where people have carried knives and that's led to tragic circumstances, but it hasn't been linked to any more significant organized crime. They're just tragic incidents in themselves, stupid incidents, ultimately tragic and stupid. Those luckily, I think those are the ones where we're seeing the main reduction.
Yeah, there's been a lot of activity as well on county lines. How do you see that? Do you think that's something where it has been clamped down on? Do you still think it's a big issue?
Yeah, and again, I think it's mixed. I think that if we're talking about the police doing what the police do well, which is kicking down people's doors, working with us about putting what are they called, stop orders, on individual properties, that sort of thing, the high level stuff, making sure that vulnerable people aren't being controlled in their own home, I think progress has been made, although it's progress on a baseline where this is literally what we pay the police to do, arrest criminals and make sure that they get them to court with the best available evidence so the criminal justice system convicts them and puts them where they should be. Where I do think, again, coming back to that point that I keep making, where I don't think the police have enough resources, and I'm not criticising the local force and I'm not criticising the local commanders, where I don't think there is enough resources is the local intelligence to tackle those local things that disrupt criminal networks. The number of people that contact me to say this bit of open space is being used as an illegal fly tipping site, so you know, where people go and collect household furniture and things and for 50 quid, and then it costs more than that to dump a van load of stuff commercially. Where do people think that that's going? It's just being dumped those sites are also used to sort of deal drugs and things. People know this. Communities know this. If you go and knock on doors like politicians do, people will point out sites in their local areas where these sorts of things happen. I don't think that the police currently have the right infrastructure and the right resourcing to be able to take advantage of that community knowledge and deal with those low-level issues that disrupt the that disrupt those higher level crimes. It shouldn't be all about kicking in doors and at 5 o'clock in the morning for a photo opportunity to say, look, we're doing stuff. Real police work, real disruption of horrible networks, really getting under the skin of organised crime takes place at the lowest level possible. It's making sure that we're dealing with those people outside of the train station who are using the drugs, not in a vindictive, horrible way, in a treatment and prevention way, but also taking them, because if they're not buying drugs, if they're not there to carry drugs around, being given a tenner for delivering this or delivering that, if we're dealing with that, then it hurts those higher ups who are making a shedload of money from people.
Okay, and of course, Milton Keynes has been given £750,000 of national funding to go towards a multi-agency program making streets safer for women and girls. So it does seem to be, from what you're saying today, there's still a very long way to go on this.
Yeah, I think making the streets safer for women and girls starts with making sure that women and girls have a trust and confidence in the police force itself. We've asked questions, particularly around that recruitment of police officers that has taken place over the last 18 months at Speed, about whether proper background checks have taken place, about whether the Thames Valley Police are meeting the same ethical standards as the Metropolitan Police are now trying to put in place after the terrible incidents regarding the officer that was convicted a couple of weeks ago. Women and girls need to have confidence that if they are approached by a police officer, particularly a male police officer, that the very basic thing is that police officer themselves isn't going to harm or hurt them or take advantage of them in a different situation. The vast majority of police officers are great people. They work hard for the communities, but we need to make sure that women and girls have trust and confidence in the police. And then moving on from there, we need the leadership in the police force that takes these issues seriously. And like I say, if the welcome to Milton Keynes for people arriving at the train station is someone screaming really quite terrible sexual obscenities at women, and the police don't regard that as a priority or priority for resource, I mean, we can have the conversation about all the work that we're doing with the police in the background, but to send an officer there and then to deal with that individual situation is absolutely, absolutely essential. They did it a couple of weeks ago, which was only right. Somebody was arrested for a racist and racially aggravated offence. Such offences against women should be taken equally as seriously about other protected characteristics. It's absolutely essential. And then we come on to that third tier, which is, what are we going to do about it? And there's two elements to that. One is about making sure that women feel safe, and the other is around the White Ribbon campaign that the council has signed up to and become accredited of. It's about changing attitudes and behaviours, that it's not just about making sure that things are well lit or we've got safety hubs in the centre of the town for nightlife and things. It's like, what are the attitudes and what sort of society we're living in, where we have to tell women to, oh, be safe, make sure you carry your keys in your hand in case you're attacked so you can get a quick getaway, all that sort of thing. How about a society where we're teaching men and boys to respect women and not be idiots? That is what the council's got to concentrate on in our preventative services, and making sure that we're raising young men that respect women.
And of course, it's not just about women and girls. There's a lot of activity at the moment as regards as safeguarding children and young people as well.
Yeah, and ultimately that comes down to all protected characteristics. As a council, we're putting more money into making sure that LGBT plus people are safe in Milton Keynes as well. But obviously with children, we've got a a statutory obligation to make sure that children are safe with their parents and carers. We've had a couple of difficult cases recently where we've had to take a number of children into care, but no one wants a situation where a child comes to harm because and that child has either slipped through some safeguarding cracks, etc. So we work very well with schools, with other agencies, with sports clubs, to make sure that if there are any noticeable signs of harm or neglect, then they are taken absolutely seriously. And our model of supporting families is now coming back into fashion. The government are now funding a number of pathfinders across the country to reduce the number of children in care. We've got quite a low number of children in care for the size of our city, and that's because we still, as a council, spend a lot of money on preventative services to make sure that we don't get in a situation where children are neglected or abused in the first place. So, and I think that's a good thing, because harm and neglect and abuse takes a lot more resources to fix than it does to stop.
And just looking at my notes here, we should have maybe mentioned this when we talked about knife crime earlier, but Milton Keynes Council has actually been praised by the Ministry of Justice for the work on knife crime.
Yeah, and as I said, the work that we've done with Matt in this area, the Police and Crime Commissioner, has been really strong, and I'm really proud of it. And if we can use our learning to help others, particularly in London, around what we've done, that's great. And we've got more things coming on stream. We've got new youth clubs opening in Fuller Slade quite soon. We'll continue on the ones on the Lakes Estate, and we're making sure that we're putting, as I said earlier, more money into that trial around the youth justice system to make sure that maybe young people that have been caught carrying a knife or are in danger of carrying a knife, maybe being excluded from school, for instance, that they are part of a program where we work with them to make sure that they don't fall into organized crime networks or people that will take advantage of them.
From what you're saying today, you know, I think your message is there's got to be more done for prevention, not just on knife crime, but crime in general, rather than a reactive approach. What about bleed kits? Because again, that's something that a lot of organisations are talking about. You know, is there any funding for additional bleed kits?
It's something that when we looked at it a while ago, actually the ambulance service and the NHS said that because of the nature of Milton Keynes, bleed kits were not particularly their highest priority. Their highest priority is making sure that they get to somebody who's been stabbed very, very quickly. Bleed kits are only of use if you've got somebody who is able to use them and there is a bleed kit within a certain vicinity. Now, if you think about how Milton Keynes is built, we're not Hackney, we're not a sort of parts of London, we're not parts of Liverpool or Manchester, where it's a very dense city centre, where things happen in clubs and in pubs and in places where people congregate. The vast majority of incidents that have happened in Milton Keynes over the past 3 or 4 years have been isolated incidents in housing estates, and you wouldn't have a bleed kit in a shop or in a public space there, because we don't quite have public spaces in the way that other places do. I know some parish councils have invested in them, and I know some local organisations have invested in them, and that's absolutely their choice. But
it probably wouldn't be a bad idea, though, would it, to have it at your local convenience store?
I think ultimately, as a council, we've got to be led by the experts in this. The experts are the NHS, and the experts are particularly the ambulance service, and under-providing something is as bad as not providing it at all. We can't have one on every corner, but obviously there are spaces, as with defibrillators, but it's not, a bleed kit is not quite the same as a defibrillator, because a defibrillator is sort of like when someone has a heart attack, you can sort of use it untrained. I think we've all probably seen an episode of Casualty, etc., etc. There's a sort of very plain way of being able to use it. Bleed kits are substantially more difficult to use. You've got to have training, etc. So I couldn't imagine anything more frustrating, to be perfectly honest with you, that if one of those incidents does occur and then the person who has been trained to use it is not on site, that would be a double waste, wouldn't it? So I think we've just got to follow the evidence on it. But they're not something I'm against, but it's something when the council looks at funding something, it's got to be evidentially led and have a reasonable chance of success. As I say, across Milton Keynes, organisations like parish councils, some councils have funded them out of their ward budgets. I'm not against that, but ultimately, as the leader of a city council, I've got to use our funds in the way that the NHS, our partners, are sort of saying that would be most effective.
All right. So to finish off, then, what are your main priorities to tackle crime as we go into the spring in a few weeks' time?
So obviously, we're going to keep pushing for more community police officers and again increasing and pushing back towards that investment in PCSOs and local policing and local knowledge. And I do think that the police with the council need to get a better grip of low level antisocial behaviour and low level criminality around things like aggressive begging, small drug dealing, you know, graffiti, things like that, because I think by tolerating small levels of that, and again, I don't use it for any other reason that it's just a good and helpful example of what can happen, and people know it, so they can see the difference. Is that sort of like maybe 6 months ago there was one person outside of Milton Keynes train station doing a bit of begging, then because nothing was done, there's a couple of people there. Then those couple of people start drinking and taking drugs. Then some stuff turns up and is in the phone box. Then, you know, all manner of things start going on. And all that could have been avoided. And quite a lot of resource and time and effort could have been avoided if the police in particular would have just dealt with that first incident right at the beginning. And I think that is a really good example that happens all over the place, that one report of, oh, there was somebody drug dealing in this car park. Oh, it's not a priority. You know, more and more things happen because we're not dealing with people who abide by rules. It's the nature of crime, isn't it? And I think that old phrase that if you give people an inch, they take a mile. If you give people who are doing illegal things an inch, they do another thing and another thing and another thing, and it starts to become a real centre problem. And so I think clamping down on those small things means that later on the police are having to use less resources to go and kick people's doors in and do those big operations because you've disrupted the networks at a lower level. So that's where we'll be pushing around more police, more community policing, better use of intelligence and more tackling of antisocial behaviour.
All right, brilliant. Thanks for joining us this evening.
No, thank you very much indeed.
That's Peter Marlin, the Labour leader of Milton Keynes City Council.